I am deeply grateful to be with all of you, Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, for one of our most eagerly celebrated festivals of the year, Sri Ras Purnima. Today we are beginning the month of Kartik, a month which is presided over by Sri Radharani, the ultimate proprietor of all prema or love. It is only by grace that this love is awakened within us. Ananda Mayo Vyashat. The Vedanta Sutras teach that the absolute truth is by nature full of pleasure. And every living being who is part and parcel of the absolute truth is seeking pleasure. The only pleasure that gives pleasure to Krishna, to Parambrahma, is love, to love and to be loved. In the spiritual world, everything exists simply for the purpose of exchanging love. There is no darkness, there is no ignorance, there is no selfishness. Because everything is pervaded by Sri Sri Radha Gopinath's love. And everyone, in everything they do, everything they speak, everything they think, is offering their love. And literally everything, apparently animate or inanimate, is receiving and extending that pure love. Savai pung sang paro dharmo yato bhaktir hokshaje ahoitiki aprati hataya yatma supraseded. The supreme dharma is loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord Krishna. Such service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted by any selfishness, egoism, or any circumstance. Only that love will satisfy the self. Because that is the only thing that is in tune with our nature. All egoism, selfishness, false pride, all dissatisfaction, elation when we get something we want, depression when we don't get it. That's all due to being untuned from our true nature. When we have that focus, yat karoshi rasnasi yaj druhoshi dadasi, then everything we do is for Krishna's pleasure. And in every situation, we only feel Krishna's grace. That is natural spiritual health. And that is the entire existence of the spiritual world. And Krishna descends into this world to attract us back into this pastimes of pure love. He tells us in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarva loka maheshwara suhridam sarva bhutanam gyatvamam shanti mirchati. That true peace and not come by any other means except tuning in to a natural spiritual understanding that Krishna, who has many names, the Supreme Absolute Truth, the cause of all causes, is the proprietor of everything that exists. That every living being is a child of God. And therefore, everything is meant as an offering of love for his enjoyment. And that Krishna is forever, unconditionally, intimately the best friend of everyone. When we just live according to this idea, honestly, sincerely, then we attain the supreme peace. Peace beyond liberation. It connects us to Prem, to true bhakti, which culminates in ecstatic love. So Krishna descends to perform wonderful pastimes as well as to give teachings and lessons to attract us back home, back to Godhead, where we all long to be. Just like in this, I'm not good at it, but I have to use it sometimes. There's these computers and cell phones, and there's something called resetting. Yes? If I understand right, reset means you erase everything and bring it back to its original state. Is that correct? We probably have more software engineers in our brahmachari ashram than than most of the rest of the world. That is what it means? Yes, yes. So when you reset, you have to be careful, because it's kind of like surrendering. When you reset, everything's gone, and it brings it back to its natural state, and then everything else you put on is connected to its natural state. So when Krishna tells Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja Aham Tvam Sarva Papibhyo Moksha Ishami Masaj, abandon all varieties of religion, just surrender to me. I shall protect you from all sinful reactions. Deliver you. Do not fear. From a technological vernacular, it's kind of like he's asking us to reset our consciousness. Srila Prabhupada says, Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition in the mind. It is our original natural consciousness. Somehow or other, we have accumulated all this data. This data that I am a man, or I am a woman, or I'm a black, or white, or Indian, or Russian, or American, or Pakistani, or European, and I'm learned, or I don't have any education at all, or I'm so wealthy, or I want money, or I'm healthy, or I'm sick, or I'm old, or I'm young, or I'm a Hindu, or a Muslim, or a Jew, or a Christian, or a Jain, or a Sikh, or a Parsi, or a Zoroastrian, or an atheist, or an agnostic, or I'm just disgusted with life, or I'm bored, or I'm hungry. Yes, this is all data. It's all data we've collected for so many lives. There's samskaras in the sense that we have so many impressions and we respond according to how we're programmed. Yes, one person's programmed in such a way when the full moon comes out, they think, God, who cares? I've seen so many full moons. And another person sees the full moon come out and thinks, oh, such a romantic feeling I have in my... And another person sees the full moon come out, and he goes into a debate whether man ever went to the moon or not. So everybody has a different impression according to how we program ourselves, and we're programmed by our environment, of how we process things and how we respond to things. So because of this programming and all this data we have put in our minds, you know, we see something and we get lusty, or we get greedy, or we get envious, or we get sleepy. We hear something, the same responses. What is this from? We think this is me. This has nothing to do with you. All your identifications with all your identifications, all your longings, all your aversions, all your hobbies and everything else you're so attached to. I like this. I like this type of food. I like this type of music. I like this type of dance. I like this type of person. I like these types of books. I like these types of movies. I don't like anything. Whatever it is, it has nothing to do with you, the eternal self, who's part and parcel of God, whose love of God is the only true reality. It's all the data of karma and desires and everything else that we've just uploaded. Birth after birth after birth in our consciousness. So bhakti, Krishna consciousness, culminates in surrender. And surrender means we reset. We just let go of all these things. We let go of all the upadis, all the anartas, all the misconceptions, all the artificial, temporary, ever-changing designations. And we realize, Jivara Swarupoi Krishnara Nityatas. I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. I'm Satchit Ananda. I'm eternal. I'm full of knowledge and I'm full of happiness. And nothing in this ever-changing, unpredictably predictable world can ever change that. Death. Death is just a natural process for all material things. I'm utilizing material things in my loving service for Krishna, but I'm beyond. That is what surrender means, to let go of all the anger and envy and greed and lust and arrogance and all the things that cause that. And vyabhashayatma kabudhya rekeha kuru nandana, to actually focus on our original nature. So Krishna, he comes to this world to show us so many beautiful pastimes, so we want to reset our consciousness. We want to bring it back to its original natural state. To love Krishna means to love everything, to love everyone on a spiritual level. No matter what benefits we do physically and emotionally in this world, it's still dukalayam ashashvatam, a place of suffering, a place of death. Therefore, the highest compassion, the highest friendship is to help reset the consciousness of ourselves and others. Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he goes from where the Bhagavad Gita concludes. Bhagavad Gita concludes with surrendering our hearts to Krishna and giving up all egoistic, dualistic designations, except for that I'm an eternal servant of the Lord. Manmanabhavamadbhakto. Always think of me. Always means forever. It doesn't mean until you die. It doesn't mean until you get liberated. Always think of me. When you love God, you will think of God forever. Always be my devotee. Manmanabhavamadbhakto. Satatam kirtayantam. Always chant my holy names. So Srimad Bhagavatam reveals to us incredible histories of the love between devotees who have surrendered everything to the Lord and the Lord's love for them. We find that in the Pandavas. In little Dhruva, 5-year-old boy who was so frustrated and so ambitious and so angry, but by the grace of his mother, Suniti, and Narada, his guru, he experienced love for Krishna. And he was totally transformed. He wanted nothing except to remember the Lord and to serve the Lord. And he was willing to be a king if it was the will of the Lord and rule the whole empire in this spirit of being an instrument of Krishna's compassion. And little Prahlad was also just 5. What was his devotion? The Lord, seeing his devotion, was so grateful. He offered Prahlad everything and anything. I'll give you empires. I'll give you mystic cities. I'll give you liberation. I'll give you elevation to the spiritual world. Anything. Prahlad said, if I ask anything from you, I'm not your devotee. I'm just doing business. I'm just happy remembering you and serving you. But if it pleases you to give me something, then give my father liberation, because he did so many bad things. And let me be in this world as long as anyone is in forgetfulness of you, so I can help them to experience what I have, my love for you and your love for us. Krishna loves everyone intimately. That's an eternal truth. Bhakti is resetting our consciousness, removing all of the mundane data we've programmed ourselves with so that we could actually be receptive to experience that love. We read about Ambarish, the power of his forgiveness, and it was not done in a very, very difficult way. That somebody said, Ambarish, you know, I know Durvasa Muni tried to murder you for no reason whatsoever, and he tried to destroy you, and he was so angry with you, and he blasphemed you. You know, sit down, let me give you some therapy so you could forgive him. Ambarish just naturally forgave him. Not only forgave him, he was praying to Vishnu to give love of God to him constantly. And he wasn't, if Durvasa Muni comes to me first and asks forgiveness, then I'll forgive him. Otherwise, let him suffer till he comes. He didn't do anything except run away. And Ambarish was begging for God, for Krishna to deliver him. And then we read about Ram and Sri Hanumanji. If you come to our yatra, we'll discuss this subject. What was Hanuman's love? What was his devotion? In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we have this devotee going through various levels of devotees, and everyone is so humble. They all... You think I have the highest? I'm nothing compared to Hanuman. He jumped across oceans for Ram. He risked his life. He willingly let his tail get set on fire. He fought an entire war, and he never asked for anything in return. All he asked for is, "My Lord, what more can I do for you?" And he wasn't like stocking up credits so that finally he had so many credits, he'd say, "Okay, Lord, now give me this." That's not a bhakta. A bhakta is forever. Nadanam nanchanam nasundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamane mama janmanishvari bhavatad bhakti rohoite kitvai. I don't want anything for myself. I just want to serve you with love. And this principle of pure love culminates. Of all the Vedic literatures, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence, the cream of all knowledge, of all scriptures. And the cream of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the 10th canto, where Swayam Bhagavan, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachid Ananda Vigraha, the original, full, Purna Brahma, the absolute truth in the revealing the fullest, infinite extent of the opulences of love, intimacy, and sweetness, appears as Krishna in Mathura, in Vrindavan. And there was, when he's only a couple days old and Gokul, Putana comes. And she was a mighty powerful personality. Putana, within seconds, can exterminate the entire city of Mumbai. She was like an army in herself. First of all, she was gigantic. Second of all, she had unbelievable yogic powers. And third of all, she was absolutely heartless and cruel. I mean, really heartless and cruel. Even the most evil people, they usually get a little soft when they see a baby. Yes? But Putana, that was her favorite type of demoniac. She would kill anybody. But she especially was pleased when she could kill babies and watch their mothers cry. Hare Krishna. Krishna was just an infant. He killed Putana. She manifested a form 8 miles high. And Krishna was just a little baby, and he just sucked, drank her milk, drank her life air. She was screaming, and fell to the ground, crushed trees and forests. And Krishna was just smiling and crawling around on her. And he gave her liberation. That's Krishna. How did he give her liberation? Because even though she was demoniac and everything else, she came to me like a mother. So let her be my mother forever in the spiritual world. Krishna performed his leelas with his friends, with his parents. And the very, very essence of the 10th canto is the 5 chapters describing the Rasleela. It's so high, it's so deep, it's so profound that it's actually impossible for the human brain, the mind, the intelligence to understand. Said, "No, I'm happy, no problem. As long as, can you hear Govinda Prabhu? You're all right? Govinda's all right, then Govinda Madhi Purusham." You could hear that? Where was I? Raslila. You see, the truths of prema, which have its highest expression in the love of the gopis for Krishna. It's the innermost, deepest secret of the soul. You could memorize 10 million verses describing the Raslila. You could memorize and eloquently speak every detail of the Rasik Tattva and the philosophical explanations and the intricacies of the pastimes on so many layers and not understand it at all. Because it's beyond our cognizant capacity. We can attain mystic powers through the ascending process. We can attain mukti, liberation, through the ascending process. But prema bhakti, it's too high and too deep to reach. It's only accessible when it is given to us. That is called divine grace. And that divine grace is personified eternally as Srimati Radharani, the Hladini Shakti, the ultimate, the Ashray Vigraha, the abode of love. Krishna is the Vishay Vigraha, the object of love. Because Srimati Radharani is the absolute truth, who is the abode of love, the supreme lover. She is the ultimate proprietor of prema. And by her grace, even though it's within all of us, it's our ultimate essential potential. It's unreachable without the grace of Sri Radha. Just like in Sanskrit poetry, there's a blue lotus flower that only blooms when it's touched by the rays of the full moon. Otherwise, it's closed, and it has no fragrance whatsoever. And you can, the sun shines, it remains closed. If you go at night and you shine flashlights on it, torches, remains closed. If you get big spotlights and shine it on it, remains closed. No matter what you do, it remains closed. There's nothing that can open it. But when the full moon shines on it, it naturally blossoms. And when it blossoms, it manifests the most intoxicating, sweet fragrance that fills the entire atmosphere in all directions. Each and every one of us, our hearts are like that blue lotus. But it's tightly shut. And no matter how much knowledge, and no matter how many donations you give, and no matter how many tapasyas you give, no matter how much you fast or sleep on the floor or live in caves or sit in the sun in the summer between 8 blazing fires, no matter how many rounds you chant, no matter how many mantras you memorize, no matter how many times you offer puja, it will remain tightly shut. But when Sri Radha's grace shines upon us, like the rays of the full moon, it naturally opens. It blossoms. And when our heart blossoms with prema, with ecstatic love, we are anandam buddhivardhanam. We are forever happy. And the fragrance of that love and the happiness we feel spreads everywhere to everyone. That is grace. Sam siddhir hari toshanam. And when Krishna is pleased with us, then Sri Radha manifests that grace from within and without. It may come at different stages, but through the grace, the lotus of our heart blossoms. And ultimately, we are chanting according to the instructions of Srila Prabhupada and the great acharyas, and we're studying Srimad Bhagavatam, and we're worshiping the deities, and we're doing so much seva, service. Why? Because this is the treasure, the gift that God has given us. And when we do it sincerely, honestly, earnestly, attentively, and take it very seriously, then they will be pleased on us. And that grace, trinadapi sunichena tarori vasishana amani namanadena kirtaniya sadhari. If we just chant the holy name in this spirit with humility and tolerance and eagerness to respect others, and we have a service attitude based on that spirit, and Sri Radha's grace will be with us. So the Ras Lila is described, and I'll be very, because I was only supposed to speak a few minutes, I think. Should I end? And we have kirtan? Huh? Govinda Prabhu told me to speak, so you can tell me to stop if you like. I'll speak briefly because we have beautiful darshan tonight. Krishna, he saw the full moon of this season of Kartik rising on the horizon of Vrindavan. Most beautiful full moon, illuminating all directions with its golden aura. And seeing the full moon, Krishna, it awakened in his own unlimited loving heart the desire to exchange love and fulfill all the desires of his most blessed and intimate devotees, the gopis. On the bank of the river Yamuna, it's a river of liquid prema in Vrindavan Dham. Yamuna is Yamuna Devi, the goddess presiding over that river, is an intimate, eternal associate of Krishna from Goloka, the spiritual world, who descends to this world with Krishna to assist in his pastimes with his devotees in the most beautiful ways. She gives the greatest pleasure to the cows and the calves and the peacocks and the birds and the gopas and the gopis and the old and the young and everyone. Krishna stood on the bank of the Yamuna under a kalpa vriksha tree, a banyan tree. Its name is Bamsivat. Krishna took his flute of the name Bamsi and played. But how did Krishna play his flute? Krishna's heart is unlimited. All love is ultimately from the heart of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. The love of Krishna's heart manifested into his breath. And as he blew or played his flute, that breath came through the flute, which is his, that flute is an eternal expansion of himself, a loving servant that facilitates the love between he and his devotees. When Krishna blew into the flute, the love of his heart manifested as the sweetest music that this creation has ever heard. It wasn't the kind of music that we listen to with our little ears. This was the sweetest music. It was Krishna's ecstatic love for the souls of the gopis. And the special feature of this love that manifested in the form of music is as it entered into each gopi's ears and their hearts, it uniquely, personally manifested itself, especially only for that gopi. There were no two gopis that heard the same song. Krishna, in their hearts, in the form of this sweet song, was present, calling them to be with him. And the gopis, their only will was to please Krishna. Krishna's calling. Some were boiling milk. They had a flame under the milk. They just left, ran into the forest as the milk boiled over. They were gone. Others were nursing their little infant babies. They just gently put down their baby, ran into the forest. Others were feeding their husbands or their fathers, mothers, mothers-in-laws, whoever it may be. They were feeding them prasad right at the table. Here is this, and then right in the middle, the spoon right above your father-in-law, and then Krishna the flute. Just drop the pot, drop the spoon, and ran into the forest. What are you doing? You can't go. You're serving. You're gone. Sharanagati. Some were milking their cows with the bucket under the cow, and they're just half done milking, and the bucket's there, and milk's there, and they just left the bucket under the cow and left. It says that some were putting mascara on, and they put it on one eye, and when they heard Krishna's flute, they forgot about their other eye. And some, when they heard Krishna's flute, they put the top part of their clothes on the bottom part of their body, and the bottom part on the top, and they went to the forest. In this way, even though it was dark and the forest was not a place to go in the middle of the night, and they didn't all go together, they all just went to meet Krishna. Krishna was calling. And each and every one of them knew the way they left, they may never be welcome to come back. But if that's what it means to please Krishna, let it be. As they were moving through the forest, their hearts were beating with inconceivable anticipation to serve Krishna. And when they came to Bamsivat on the Yamuna bank to meet Krishna, he smiled upon them. And that smile was everything. Krishna could manifest his love through a glance. He could manifest his love through a smile. He could manifest his love through the song of his flute. And the love he was manifesting through that smile. It was like a tsunami of ecstasy that was drowning the gopis in happiness. And Krishna spoke. He said, I'm so happy you came. I called you and you gave up everything just to be here with me. And you've seen the beautiful forest of Vrindavan in the moonlight. And please understand, what was the forest on this night? Krishna wanted to enjoy and give the highest enjoyment to the gopis. And what is the highest enjoyment of the gopis? Krishna's enjoyment. So that means in order to give the gopis the highest enjoyment, he has to enjoy the highest. And as he's enjoying the highest, they're enjoying the highest. And as they're enjoying the highest, he's enjoying the highest. And if he wants them to enjoy more, he has to enjoy more. If he wants them to enjoy more, they have to enjoy more. And in this way, the enjoyment is unlimited, and yet it's ever increasing. This is spiritual mathematics. Something that has no end is ever increasing. Something that is absolutely, completely full is always being more full. Prabhupada said, in spiritual life, there's perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. And there are unlimited degrees of most perfect. So, by Krishna's will, by the sound of his flute, by the smile of his lips, by the glance of his eyes, the whole forest of Brajbhumi was totally surcharged for Krishna's pleasure. Every flower, the flowers, and there was limitless flowers on the vines, on the creepers, on the bushes, on the trees. There's jasmines and champaks, and there's mogras, and there's lotuses and kadambas. So many flowers are blossoming. And each tree is blossoming more flowers than ever. And every single one of those little flowers is a perfect, pure devotee of Krishna who just wants to make Krishna happy. And on that night of Sarat Purnima, they were luminous, they were shining, they were brilliant with light, and they're always inconceivably intoxicating in their fragrance. But on Sarat Purnima, by Krishna's will, being touched by the moon's rays, their fragrance was infinitely sweeter than ever before. And the birds, they always sing so nice. But on Sarat Purnima, how they were singing. They were being empowered by Srimati Radharani, Krishna's pleasure potency, and Krishna to sing with such an intoxicatingly sweet voice. And they were all singing together. And the breeze, everything about that night was so infinitely charming. just creating an atmosphere for Krishna and the gopis to enjoy. A pure spiritual experience of love. So the gopis, Krishna said, you have seen the beauty of the forest of Vrindavan on this special moonlit night of Sarat. And you have come to meet me just like you wanted to, and we have met and you have seen. So now you can go home. Because you have duties at home and your families are waiting for you, and it's not proper for you to be here. And gopis were crying. And they prepared. They didn't prepare, they just expressed their hearts in their prayers to Krishna. That we came to give you happiness. We've come to dance with you. Don't send us home. You say that we have duties to others. We know we have duties to others, but it's only because they're alive. If somebody's dead, then how can we love them? It's the soul we love, not the body. And you are the soul of all souls. You are the Paramatma. Every living being is a part of you. We only love anyone because of our potential to love you. The origin of love for everyone and everything is the soul's love for Krishna. So whatever we love for them is only because of you. So let us love you. That includes everyone. Good philosophy. When you water the root of the tree, automatically the water goes to every part of the tree. When we offer our love to Krishna, it naturally extends to every living being, including our loved ones, on the deepest level. So Krishna accepted defeat from gopis and began to dance. And our great acharyas tell us that this is a pure spiritual relationship. There's not a tinge of material desire, attachment, or lust. It's the deepest love of the soul. Shukadev Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramanujacharya, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunathas Goswami, the greatest renunciates in the history of this world have all proclaimed that the purest, selfless love of the gopis is the highest level of renunciation. We would never hear Shukadev Goswami or Chaitanya or Rupa Goswami or Raghunath Das Goswami. They never talk about affairs between men and women. But they're constantly thinking about the gopis' love for Krishna. Because it's transcendent to this world. And that is why we cannot understand this love of gopis for Krishna unless we're touched by the grace of Sri Radha. It takes a very humble heart, a lifetime of seva, and deep, selfless, humble chanting of the holy names to be able to actually connect to this. Krishna's love is so perfect. Every gopi, and there were many, many gopis, was thinking, Krishna is only with me. Of all the other beautiful, qualified gopis that are here, according to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and the scriptures, the gopis, everything about them is for the pleasure of Krishna. When we read about their incredible beauty, it's not that they're just born with the karma of good beauty like some people are in this world. Yes, some people are beautiful because of their karma. Some are beautiful because they have some karma and then they do some physical fitness to try to become more beautiful. And some are beautiful because they have some good karma and they have a lot of money to put on all kinds of cosmetics to make themselves look like they're not really what they look like, but they look beautiful. So there's all kinds of ways to become beautiful in this world. But the gopis never did anything like that. Everything about the gopis, the way they cooked, the way they looked, that rhymes, the way they sang, it was an expression of their love for Krishna. And because they loved Krishna so purely and so deeply and so selflessly, they were so beautiful. The scriptures tell us that even the most beautiful ladies of this earth planet, their beauty is insignificant compared to the beauty of the ladies in the heavenly planets. It's not a place for brahmacharis. We read, when heavenly ladies, when they perspire, it's like nectar. In this world, we have all these perfumes and everything to try to disguise what's really there. But compared to the ladies of Vaikuntha, their beauty is infinitely more beautiful than anyone in the heavenly planet. And compared to the ladies in Vaikuntha, the queens of Dwarka are incomparably more beautiful than the people of Vaikuntha. And compared to the queens of Dwarka, their beauty is absolutely insignificant compared to the beauty of the gopis of Vrindavan. What is their beauty? Inconceivable. Unbelievable. And it's all an expansion of their love, of their heart. So each gopi knows how beautiful and how qualified and how loving every other gopi is. And every gopi is thinking, Krishna's only dancing with me. He's left everyone else and he's only with me. He's only looking at me. He's only smiling at me. He's only exchanging love with me through dance. And every gopi is thinking like that. And the reality is, this is something very esoteric and beautiful. Is every one of them was right. It was true. Krishna was intimately only with them while he was with everyone else. That's the power of Krishna. He's Rasa Bihari. But Krishna wanted to teach all of us several lessons. And I'm going to end after I tell this lesson. Then we get to sing for Radha Gopinath. The gopis, they actually had no pride in their heart. They were completely transcendental and liberated. But there was a type of spiritual pride that they had. And Krishna wanted to teach us a lesson. However elevated you are, however exalted we are in our spiritual realization, if we become proud and we think that I am better than others, then Krishna withdraws himself from us. It doesn't please him. Srila Prabhupada explains what is the consciousness of a Mahabhagavat. A really self-realized, liberated lover of God. A Mahabhagavat is thinking, not that I am liberated and I am advanced and I love Krishna and you don't. A Mahabhagavat is thinking, according to a Mahabhagavat, takes one to know one. A Mahabhagavat thinks everyone is serving Krishna better than me. And that's why for a Mahabhagavat to be in this world and be a preacher and everything, they really have to adjust their consciousness because their natural thinking is like this. Now the question is, are we kind of doing all the stuff we're doing as an adjustment when we're actually thinking everyone loves Krishna better than me and everyone's serving Krishna better than me? That's total humility. The gopis are on that stage. But by the power of Krishna's love, they began to think. And Krishna wants to teach us we should never think we're better than others. If we have been given a special gift, we can think that I have received a very, very good fortune that others may not have been given. That doesn't make me better than them. It makes me more fortunate. I should share that fortune with them because I'm their servant. That's the way a devotee is supposed to be to every living being. Servant of the servant of the servant. So Krishna left all gopis. And all the gopis, another reason is because he wanted to increase the love for the gopis. They were in the highest state of spiritual happiness dancing with Krishna, but it intensified so many times more when he disappeared, because now they were totally absorbed in yearning for Krishna. What a samadhi state they were in. They were chanting Krishna's names. They were imitating Krishna's pastimes. They were asking the moon and the deers and the insects and the trees and the flowers, did you see Nanda Nandana? Which way did Shamsundar go? Where is Gopinath? They weren't thinking of anything else. And they were together performing Krishna's pastimes just because the only way they could survive was to be totally absorbed in him. They were feeling his presence so deeply in remembering all of his glances, all of his words, all of his smiles, all of his pastimes with his gopa friends, all of his pastimes with his parents, all of his killing of demons, all of his pastimes with them. They were remembering every moment of those things, and it was exploding with love. Where is Krishna? Where is he? I want to serve him. I want to please him. That was their love. And ultimately, they realized that Krishna left them all for Srimati Radharani. Of all the devotees, the Brijabasis have the sweetest love. Of all the Brijabasis, the gopis. Of all the gopis, the sakis. Of all the sakis, Sri Radha. And the gopis, with such deep appreciation, they glorified Sri Radha, that her love, her worship for Krishna is above and beyond anyone else. Therefore, we left everything for Krishna, and he left us for Radha. And they were following the footprints of Radharani and Gopinath. And then they came to a place where Srimati Radharani was sitting, crying for Krishna. Because even she was thinking, Krishna left everyone for me. So Krishna left her. That's one way of understanding. But the highest way of understanding is this. Krishna wanted to show the world that the ultimate supreme revelation is the love of Radha for Krishna. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikratir Ladini Shakti Rasma. The absolute truth is one. But that absolute truth manifests as two, Radha and Krishna, to exchange the supreme love and to manifest love to Radha Krishna. The love between them expands into the hearts of all living beings. Their love for each other is the focus, the center of the entire spiritual, material, and all existence. So now they are all so deeply in their separation from Krishna, they were totally united with one heart to please Krishna. They had such sympathy, affection, and love for each other in their search for Krishna. And they were searching even through the darkest recesses of the forests of Vrindavan. And ultimately they came to the bank of Yamuna. And when the love for each other and their love, their combined love for Krishna in separation, their sympathy for each other in the condition they were in their separation from Krishna, they all held hands and loudly performed kirtan of Krishna's holy names. You sound so tired. They chanted with all their hearts this Harinam Sankirtan together. Krishna appeared. This is the gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. The greatest benediction in all of existence is the congregational chanting of the holy names. Golokera Premadan Harinam Sankirtan. This kirtan of Krishna's names is descending from Goloka. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna with the love of Sri Radha, teaching us how we can again be in the presence of Krishna. And he's giving us the very, in giving us Sankirtan, coming from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this process is bringing us right into the culmination of the Ras Lila, where the gopis are together chanting Krishna's names to invoke Krishna's presence. That's what was happening at Srivas Angam when Lord Chaitanya and his associates were chanting. We read in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and Sri Chaitanya Bhagavata that the kirtans at Srivas Angam were non-different than the Ras Lila in Vrindavan. United, chanting Krishna's names together. There's no more powerful means of invoking our love for Krishna and awakening our understanding of Krishna's love and feeling his presence at every moment. Krishna manifested to the gopis. And And it was then that Krishna told the gopis, even in an entire lifetime of Brahma, 311 trillion years, I cannot repay you for your love for me. These are simple gopis. All they did is leave their little houses, come to the forest, and dance with Krishna. Externally, it doesn't seem like they did that much. They didn't build temples. They didn't do years of austerities in caves. They just loved Krishna and wanted to please him in such a simple way. But Krishna's so grateful. From his heart he's speaking. It's not just figurative poetry. Krishna is feeling. I am the proprietor of everything that exists in all the spiritual worlds. I'm the proprietor of everything that exists in the entire material creation, all the universes. But with everything I have and all the powers I have no way to repay you for your love for me. And he's speaking to each and every one of them. Krishna is so moved. Krishna is conquered by the love of his devotee. Because that's the nature of his love. By his own sweet will, he's conquered by the love of his devotees. And he feels he can never repay them. So he tells the gopis, I request you just be happy with that love that you have in and of itself. Because that has more value. Your love for me has more value than everything I have. So just be happy with that love. And in their love, they feel Krishna's love. This is Rasleela. And then they dance through the night. And in this world, people like to dance, and people like romance. But devotees understand the real dance, the real romance, is giving our hearts to Krishna without selfishness, without egoism, with love. Seva. Service. And we show our love for Krishna by cooperating with each other, even though it's difficult. Kali Yuga, difficult. But with the challenge comes the opportunity to love. We're not willing to take the challenge. We're not qualified for that love. So it's difficult to cooperate. Husbands and wives. I've never had to do it, but I've heard a lot of things, directly and indirectly. It's not easy. But to come to a higher plea for Krishna's pleasure, we will cooperate and I will respect you and I will be good to you, even though. God brothers, God sisters, God cousins, cooperation. Respect, amanina manadena. These are challenges. And we have many challenges in this world, the challenges of the weather, the challenges of our health, of the challenges of other people on so many different levels. But how to keep thinking of Krishna, how to keep being grateful, how to keep trying to please him, and how to be united in doing so. The greater the challenge, the greater progress we make when we actually resolve it on the higher principle of selfless service to Krishna. That is the path of bhakti. Krishna danced with the gopis, and he wanted to fulfill their desires. And they wanted to fulfill his desires. So Krishna orchestrated in such a way they danced all night long. But Krishna extended that night to an entire night of Brahma. What is that? It's a long time. It's beyond any conception of material history. Billions of years. They danced all night long. And part of their dance was they went into the Yamuna River and they cooled off and they played among the lotus flowers. And they danced. They decorated each other with flowers. And the gopis made a nice bed of flowers for Radha and Krishna to rest. This is Vrindavan, the land of love. And tonight, as we are speaking right now, because we're in the same time zone as Vrindavan, in the Aprakata Lila, the eternal Lila of Vrindavan, and actually anywhere in the world is Krishna, it's all the same time zone. Because Krishna is beyond time. But at this very moment, Sri Radha and Krishna and gopis are performing their Ras Lila on banks of Yamuna. And here, in Chopati Beach, 7 Kaya Munshi Marg, Chopati Mumbai 400007, in this temple, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath have manifested in their eternal, original, all-merciful forms. And they are performing their Raslila. Krishna's playing his flute with all the love of his heart. According to our love, we can hear it. How many of you can hear it? So we should be very humble. We should be crying together. This is how we should be chanting the holy names tonight. This talk is just to prepare us for the kirtan, actually. As we are chanting this kirtan for Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, who are enjoying their Ras Lila, we should be one heart, crying out Radharani, Hari, and Krishna's names for their pleasure. Offering our hearts, offering our bodies, offering our minds, offering our lives through our chanting for their pleasure. And crying, Krishna, if it pleases you, steal my heart, let me hear your flute so I can steal my heart and steal everyone's hearts. Let everyone hear your flute. Let the whole world, beginning with everyone in this temple, feel your love. Why do we yearn to go to Vrindavan? Because that's where we can do a service to Radha Gopinath that is most pleasing to them. And by Srila Prabhupada, our beloved founder, Acharya's mercy, he's giving us the chance to do that right here. This is Vrindavan. Thank you very much.